The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Well, welcome to Friday. We are so glad all of you are here. I know it's been a bit of a chaotic week, coming and going with interruptions. But if you were not with us yesterday and have not heard the news, we spent almost the entire program yesterday remembering our friend Phyllis from Mulga, who passed away Wednesday while we were up in Alabama at the Regents Tradition. This is a story that is very important to all of us, but it was really quite gratifying, especially for all of you who have known Phyllis, to realize how many people around this nation have been talking. I've run out of places where Phyllis has been remembered on literally every available news and sports platform, and we will spend a lot of time today thinking about her. We'll also recap what we did Wednesday, talking to a number of key people at the Regents Tradition. But for those who may not have been able to remember back a couple of years, so we'll play some of Phyllis's greatest hits as well, beginning right now.
Hey, Cal Turd, you are just, I don't even have a name for you anymore, except Cow Turd. How dare you say that about Alabama? They lose a game. They lose a game, and they lost it to a good team. The team beat Alabama. But how can you say, after the dynasty took all these years, all these decades, one game is going to mean that Saban's dynasty is over? You're out of your freaking mind, Cow Turd. You need to go back to whatever the hell you was doing before you got on the radio. And how dare you call me out? You call me out, you're going to get me back. You hear me, you punk? How dare you? I don't understand the way you act towards... It's Bama. That's what it is. It's Bama. You don't hate any team in this nation except for Bama. And you know why? Because they're better than what you've got. Nick Saban is a better man than you are. You could never coach because you don't have a bit of coaching in your body. You have nothing but to sit there and insult and down and just carry on about everybody that's doing something different than you. You're jealous. That's the bottom line. You're jealous. And Bama's coming back. Bama has not lost. The dynasty is not over. Do you hear me, Counterd? Bama's dynasty has just begun. Kiss my butt. Roll Tide.
Thank you very much.
After that call, I decided to start wearing a jacket just for protection. We will play a lot of those calls throughout the afternoon, and clearly and obviously allow you to participate as well. We were up in Birmingham the other day, as we mentioned. We talked to a number of people included in that group. We'll play these interviews all afternoon long here on the program. We got Kirby and Barkley. We were talking to Kirby, and Barkley showed up, so we were not about to say no to Sir Chuck. We'll head out to the softball tournament at the bottom of the hour. The commissioner joins us in 1 hour. John Daly, Greg Byrne, Hugh Freeze. We begin in Birmingham on Wednesday with Kirby and Charles Barkley. We were about to talk to Kirby Smart, an interview I've been looking forward to all day. And Charles Barkley dropped by, and I decided, you don't work enough.
Well, you know, Coach, you know, they're on top of the world right now.
They are.
I have to hear about it every week from Ernie. So right. My life has been miserable the last 24 months. But, you know, number one, congratulations. What they've accomplished, it's pretty amazing. Because I always tell people, it's really hard to win back-to-back. Because when you start having success, guys are not as motivated. You got to have great leadership as coaches and coaching staff. But you got to also have great players who are leaders, because you know everybody's kissing your behind, yep, telling you how great you are. Yep. And college football is totally different than I think any other sport. I'm not just saying it because he's sitting here, because you know one game can ruin your entire season. There's no other sport where one game can ruin your entire season. So to have your guys motivated for 2 years show what a great coach, a great leader, and the great leadership he has as players. And thank you for all those players in Philadelphia, because I'm an Eagles fan.
That's right. We're sending them up there, loads of them.
That's right.
I appreciate those kind words.
Is that accurate? Because
it's hard. It's hard in any profession, but you feel the pressure in college football because one you know, not going forward because of the playoff, but the 14 playoff, one game can set you back and you're done. And then your team, you really have to become a motivator then, because they play, what are they playing for?
And somebody mentioned Coach Saban a minute ago. I think it was you mentioned him, but you spent a lot of time with him.
I have a great deal of respect and admiration for him. You know, he did a couple things that really made me feel proud. And I consider him a friend. He called me 1 year to talk to the team and things like that about, you know, these kids are different from us because they got to worry about social media. They don't get to screw up like we did in my day, and nobody knew about it. Everything's on social media today. But the one thing he did that was really meant a great deal to me, he called me and asked me to come speak to his young black players about what it's like, especially when all the George Floyd things was going on. Yep. And it was really one of, and I do speaking all the time to teams, but that really meant a lot to me. And I'll always be appreciative because, man, these kids, it's different now. They're under so much pressure, Paul. You know, with the TikTok, the Instagram, the Facebook, you know, people out there insulting them. Everybody gets to give them their opinion. These kids, man, I admire them for handling the pressure.
Yeah, and they have to read it all. Yeah. So when you sit there and read it all, you don't know what kind of mental health that affects and how it affects them. But Nick's been tremendous for our sport. I mean, you think about it, nobody has moved the college football game more than he has. And he has done a tremendous job of changing the game. I mean, the SEC is the premier place. Primarily, he started bringing national championships there when he came to LSU. So he's done a lot for this game.
Do you find yourself, and you know, as we turn toward the season, it's going to be about winning three in a row, which sounds insane, but you were, 10 years ago, you were right there as his top assistant, hearing the same thing. Can you carry stuff from that moment to what you picked up in 2013?
I think you learn lessons. I mean, we won back-to-back, and winning back-to-back was extremely hard then. It's extremely hard now. And then as you start to go on a journey for third, the pressure just tends to build. And we had good enough teams all those years to win it. But sometimes it takes a little luck. I mean, we got lucky against Ohio State. We got lucky against Missouri in a game we didn't play well. So it takes, in the SEC, it takes a little luck, and you have to have that. But what I learned from Nick was how to manage an organization, and he is tremendous at that. And look what he's done for the state of Alabama and even the city of Tuscaloosa. Nobody has impacted the state of Alabama like he has financially and giving back.
Charles, when he was hired, the head of the Board of Trustees gave an interview, and he was making, I think, $4 million a year. And he said, that's CEO money. Coaches don't deserve that kind of money. And you know how much money this sport brings in now, the amount of money that he's brought into that university, and as all these coaches do.
Well, I hate that argument, because if your team wins, you can't even put a price tag. Like, number one, if you're winning, and if you're fortunate enough to win the championship, you can't put a price tag on that number. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's like a great player.
Right.
Like a great player, you can't pay a great player enough. And he's an individual. Can you imagine trying to handle 50, 60 kids, getting them motivated every week? And like he said, the Missouri game, the Ohio State game, like coaching, man.
Which side did you have in those games?
I had Ohio State. They covered. They covered. Ohio State did cover. And then I you know, me and Ernie were arguing on television. Ernie gave me TCU in 17, and it wasn't quite enough.
Ernie's a proud man.
Man, you know what? The one thing I try to tell people, unless you've been to a school in the South, you can't really understand what football in the South means. I think they probably have it at Michigan,
yeah.
Ohio State. Yeah. I'm trying to think of another big time school. Like those other people like might love football, but the only Ohio State and Michigan, maybe USC back in the day, there's very few schools that understand what Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, yeah. What those schools, what it means to them. What their football programs mean to them and the state.
Yeah.
We're talking with, I don't know why I'm introducing, everybody knows who these guys are, Kirby Smart and Charles Barkley. Coach, you've had, this should be such a great time, and it is for Georgia fans, but it's also been, I'm guessing, one of the more difficult years you've ever had based on right after the championship, all the tragedy. How have you helped that community move forward? Because it has to be difficult.
It's one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with. You know, I always told people I'd never dealt with the loss of a player or a staff member in all the years coaching. And that morning, I got that call at 3 a.m., one of the toughest times in my career. And without the support of Thomas Settles, who went to Morehouse, our team chaplain, Bryant Gant, and all the members of our community, it's almost impossible, because the young people don't understand it any better than a 47-year-old grown man. The loss of life at that age and how quick it can happen. I mean, those kids were celebrating and having a parade that day, and then to have that happen tragically, it's been tough. And our team's dealt with it well. We talk about it. You know, you got to talk about things like that to move on from it, and our team's done a really good job talking.
Yeah, you know, and also, you have to talk to the kids about decisions.
Yep.
Like, first of all, I don't ever want to be that old get off my lawn guy. Like, I'm pretty
sure.
You
better sure, not be, because I covered you in high
no,
school.
I'm pretty time. Sure us three did a lot of stupid right. things when we were young. And I says, yo, man, I'm not that guy, but sometimes you make decisions you don't get to come back from. So you have to really be careful of the decisions you make, because, man, all it takes is one really bad decision and it can change the entire life or death. Right. Or, you know, you might end up going to jail.
That's right.
I mean, you look at, and I hate bringing this up in this situation, you look at that situation down at Alabama, that young girl dying, guy's going to go to jail probably for the rest of their life. So you just, all you, and I never blame the coaches, right, because I get so mad when guys, idiots and fools like myself on television, try to play God, like, well, the coach got to do this. I'm like, yo, man, the coach is not a babysitter. He's, like, when you leave the coach, like, yeah, if you get in trouble when you're with the coach, that's a totally different animal. But once these kids go home, or, you know, they're not at practice, or like, you have no control over what they do. So I don't blame the coaches, but like I say, I just try to tell the kids, guys, man, you got to be careful of the decisions you make. And like I say, yeah, of course I did some stupid things, but I've been very fortunate. I didn't do anything stupid when I was young that I was not able to come back from.
Well, Charles, I mean, you were in a court room. I remember this, coach. I think it was in Milwaukee, and the judge asked you why you threw a guy out of a bar, and did you have any regrets? And you said, I believe you said, yes, I do. And he said, what is that, Mr. Barkley? And he said, I'm just sorry that we were on the first floor, not the third.
That's right. Hey, you know, Paul, you thought, Paul, I always tell people, I'm against violence, right, but there's 100% chance if you throw a drink on me, we're going to fight.
Right.
Now, that was different because I could chase him down. If you throw a drink on me now, there's 100% chance I cannot chase you down today. But back then, I was Speedy, Paul. That was my nickname back in the 80s, Speedy.
Can you imagine throwing a drink on this man right here?
I mean,
one of the kindest, gentlest, nicest people.
We were together with you, Charles, in Scottsdale one night. Gene Hallman, we came out, and it was 2:30, 3 o'clock, and there were some guys at the next table who were giving, and I actually stood up because I was going to tell them, and you grabbed me.
You have to walk away.
But I would have never have done it, but with Charles there, I felt emboldened.
Oh, good.
But I'm so glad you mentioned that point. And I tell these young kids this, because number one, they're studs, most of these football players and basketball players. People say mean and rude things to you. When I was younger, I always fought. And now it's like, no, man, you're not weak, you're not a punk, walk away. Because you actually got something to lose. Those fools, first of all, they just want you to hit them so right. they can sue you. And I says, yo, man, you got something to lose. And I says, now I just like, hey, man, that dude wants me to hit him so he can sue me. And I got nothing to gain. I only got something to lose. So I tell these young kids, man, walk away.
Kill them with kindness.
Kill them like, no, man, hey, guys, let's go. And I had to learn that the hard way, unfortunately.
Well, I know both of you have planes to catch, but this has been a treat to be able to sit down with.
Well, see, that's, we got... We're getting on planes.
Two different directions.
Yeah.
He's going to be on TV tonight. I got to go raise some money.
He's going to get some money for the three-peat. I got to go watch the Knicks try to survive and the Warriors try to survive.
He's got a more important assignment, I think.
That's exactly right. I don't care who wins or loses.
Can you imagine what you would have made had you played in this era, Charles?
A lot.
I mean, think about it.
You know, I'm not
he
a
most back pay. Before yeah. we came on, he asked you to get
and I'm not talking pay. About. I'm not talking about out of high school because you were.
I wasn't there. Recruited.
But I'm talking about after the first year.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, those handshakes would have been a lot better today than they were when Sonny was giving me nickels and dimes. Sonny, you know, Sonny, I know Sonny and Wimp, they was only giving us like $20 a handshake. I wish I was back there today. I'd be like, which one of you guys got hundreds and $200? You know, Sonny and Wimp both are cheap. They'd be giving out like 20s and yeah, they tight. They tight.
Charles Barkley and Kirby Smart, thank you to both
thank
of you
guys.
Hey, continued success. Good to see you, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Great to see both of you.
The Paul Feinbaum Show is presented by Regions, official bank of the SEC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
With Greg Byrne, the director of athletics at the University of Alabama. Greg, it's good to see you, and it's been an incredible run for you, but I want to talk about the last couple of months because for some good reasons and for some really bad reasons, the athletic department has been in the news. And how are you coping with that and how are you dealing with that?
Yeah, you know, obviously, Paul, there have been some really challenging situations, there's no doubt. And we've taken all of those seriously from the get-go. But it's something that we don't want. We try to train on the front end on all sorts of issues this long, anywhere from drugs and alcohol to obviously academic misconduct, sexual misconduct, guns, driving cars, you name it. And there's a lot of things that we try to talk to the young people in our program about and our coaches and staff as well. And we've done that for years before, and we're doing that now and even more. But at the same time too, there's also been a lot of good that's going on. And it was interesting, we actually had an all staff meeting yesterday. And Coach Saban and I were talking about it beforehand, and we talked, and he said he'd love to say something to the staff too, and he did, which is obviously any chance they get to hear from Coach Saban's a good thing. And we talked about, you're at Alabama, the spotlight is bright, and you understand that when you come here. At the same time too, we also talked about all the things we've been able to accomplish this year, in with obviously understanding the challenges at the same time. We just graduated 83 kids this spring. We had our APR scores are through the roof, with over 2,000 hours of community service by our student athletes and department. And then on top of that, we're having probably the most successful athletic year in our history. And obviously, we always look and see how does the football team doing. We want to win national championships. And at the same time, too, we won the Sugar Bowl, which is a really good year for most programs. We're number 7 in the Director's Cup, which is the overall performance for the top Southeastern Conference program. And so it's good. And so about a week ago, I got a call from a friend of mine for a long time and out in the West, and he called and checked on me, see how I was doing. And I've had a few of those calls, understandably. And I said, I'm doing all right. You know, trying to support our kids, trying to support our coaches and staff. And he said, Greg, let me ask you something. And I told this story earlier today to the media, but it's true. He said, how many student athletes do you have at Alabama? I said, we've got about 650. And he said, how many employees do you have? I said, we have about 350, give or take. So about 1,000 people. He said, how many people have been causing some of the challenges that you've been dealing with? It's probably five to six, seven, somewhere in that range. And he said, don't forget that's about 0.5% of your department. Don't forget that there's 99.5% of your department that's doing a really good job. And you need to support them and tell them that they're doing a good job. And we've been trying to do that. Now we need to learn, we need to grow, that's really important. But at the same time too, there's a lot of good, and we don't want that to be lost by all the young people in our programs and our coaches and staff who are doing a great job with that too.
Speaking of coaches, you had to make a decision that's always difficult but necessary, and this one didn't take long in releasing your baseball coach. You made the hire. Do you reflect back and think, what could I have done? I know you do, but how do you assess your own role in that particular situation?
You know, obviously as an athletic director, one of the things you're judged on is your coaching hires. And as much as you're using a baseball term, as much as you want to bat 1,000, you're not going to. Coach Bohannon, our program's better, a lot better. And it's a great group of young men that are on the team. And so what I've tried to think back is, anytime you go through a coaching hire, Paul, you try to look under the hood and get as much information as you can. As you can imagine, there was never any sign by anybody of anything like that. And once we learned about it, we dealt with it. We took it seriously from the get-go and made a challenging decision. I'm really proud of the team and the resiliency they've shown. I came in and told the team Thursday morning that this was going on. And by that evening, we went and beat the number five team in the country and took 2 of 3 against Vanderbilt that weekend. So the resiliency they've shown, and it's a great group of kids. I think you've mentioned, I heard on one of the interviews, you said it is a good team, and I appreciate it, because you're 100% right. It really is.
Well, I think the feeling from the public is that these young men, may have been deprived of opportunities that they deserved. I realize there's no way of knowing, but you've said, and I know you continue to say, that no one else was involved. So that makes it even more complex from a how did we miss this standpoint.
It does. We did not see any signs whatsoever, and as soon as we saw a sign, we addressed it immediately.
In terms of moving forward, just in general about Alabama and the world of college athletics, you're on a very high level. You're on the men's basketball committee. You play a role in almost every leadership position in the Southeastern Conference. Is there a way to assess this moment in time as the son of an athletic director when things were a lot different?
Yeah, I talked to my dad on a regular basis, who was, you know, Paul knows, but AD at A&M and AD at Nebraska in the 90s and AD at Oregon in the 80s. And he has commented more than one time, I'm glad to be retired. but at the same time too, I'm passionate about this, Paul. We're one of the things that brings everybody together, and you see great opportunities for young people. I think the leadership in college athletics is passionate about broad-based programming, the opportunity to have a large number of sports, a large number of student athletes. And we got to find a way to get through that. And we got great leadership, Greg Sankey and the SEC, our presidents and chancellors and our trustees and everybody across the board. We'll find a way out of this, but I also think it's important that we're realistic in making sure that we can create a model long-term that is healthy for the young people in our programs and healthy for the universities and departments too.
Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama. Thank you very much, Greg.
Good. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back. Your calls, a few minutes. As everyone knows, the women's softball tournament has reached the semi-final round in Fayetteville. And Caleb Rowe and Tori Vidalis out there getting us ready for what should be an exciting afternoon and early evening. Game is already in the books today from the rain. Tori and Caleb, good afternoon. And update everyone on what has been going on and what we are about to see.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, we've got an excellent tournament for you here. We're going to get ready for this Auburn-South Carolina game in the semifinals, but we've had an incredible tournament. There's been four extra inning games. Every game this weekend, Tori, has been really awesome, really high-level competition.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it boils down to the pitchers that we've seen in the circle. I mean, especially for South Carolina, you've got the flamethrower in Donnie Goborn. But I think for us, we were talking about how important it is that for the start, Carson Oakes today is going to get the nod in the circle, and how important it is for her to get at least one time through this lineup so that Donnie Goborn can come in and kind of close that door for South Carolina. Kind of an unusual team to be this far in the semi. South Carolina, not someone that you would expect to be this far, but has played absolutely incredible, tight games, and I've loved to see them show up when the moment is the biggest.
Yeah, that game coming up at 4 Eastern on ESPN2. We're really looking forward to it. And, you know, Carson Oakes was really, really good in game one. I thought she came out. The most important thing that she can do is really control the strike zone, really pound the corners. This is an Auburn offense that was really effective yesterday. They came back, came from behind, scored 8 runs yesterday against the Ole Miss Rebels. So she's going to have to make sure that she uses the spin and the speed change, that lower velocity. And again, we're expecting, Tori, you're so right, to see Donnie Goborn. And I think Carson Oakes, Bailey Bettenbaugh yesterday are setup pitchers. They want to get Auburn feeling a little bit comfortable with a certain velocity, that low 60s, high 50s changeup. So that way when Donnie Goborn comes in, Tori, that 72 mile an hour pitch feels like it's 75 coming at you, and she's electric. You love to see her.
Yeah, and I think it's so great that you have someone like a Carson Oakes before her, and throws in the lower 60s, gonna test their discipline, and then you bring in the flamethrower in Donnie Goborn. As Alyssa Lang said last night, Donnie, let's freaking go, Born, because she's throwing in the low 70s and she's able to move the ball throughout the zone. And when you're facing a slower pitcher in the circle at the beginning of the game, you bring in the flamethrower, it's going to be harder for them to catch up with that ball.
Yeah, and we can't say enough about how incredible this pitching performance and this pitching duel could be, because you have Maddie Penta throwing for the Auburn Tigers today. Really looking forward to her getting out in the circle, because look, she is the SEC Pitcher of the Year. That news was released this morning. She absolutely earned it. She had 12 wins, just above a 1 ERA in conference play. She was unbelievable. And you know, it's really crazy because you look at Maddie Penta, she gave up 5 runs yesterday against Ole Miss. She said it after the ballgame. It wasn't her best game. She didn't have her best stuff, but she still found a way to go back in. She re-entered the game late in the innings and shut down Ole Miss and helped her Auburn team to a W. She's incredibly talented in the circle, Tori, but I don't think anybody here, and we've seen some good ones, nobody's got a better changeup than her.
Yeah, absolutely, but I think something, looking back just to yesterday, the uncharacteristic free passes from Maddie Penta. She had 4 walks and 3 hit by pitches, and you mentioned wasn't her best sharpest outing, but she was able to find a way to come back in at the end of the game to save it for her team. And you got to shout out her offense and what they were able to do, staying in that game, playing a little bit of a messy game defensively from both sides. So they're hoping today that Maddie Penta is able to come out with her best stuff and the defense plays a good game.
Yeah, I thought the offense came through in a big way for this Auburn Tigers team. The top of the lineup, you had Nelia Peralta with a hit, Denver Bryant with 2 hits to set the table, but the middle, Isis Tresvik had an incredible day, 3 RBI. She hit the home run. That was one of the biggest momentum changers. in that ball game, and it was just really fun. She's a transfer. It's her first time playing in the SEC tournament, and she loved it, and we love it, Paul. We got 20 minutes until game time. We're really looking forward to this one. It's going to be electric, just like every single game has been here at the SEC tournament in Fayetteville.
Guys, before you go, we were watching a replay of last night's game, and I know Montana Fouts, I think she's pitched twice. But the injury got a lot of people nervous. Do we have an update on that with an eye to the rest of the season?
You know, no update yet, Paul. I think it's going to be a wait to see until they get back to Tuscaloosa, until they get a really strong prognosis on what we're going to expect. But we heard it from Coach Murphy, and I think a key with that, Tori, is that she was not going to pitch in today or tomorrow's game if they were to win in the semis, no matter what. They're saving her for regionals at that point, and I think that's the smart move. You can't overthrow her right before the NCAA tournament, or Alabama really wouldn't have a very good chance in that regional round.
Yeah, I mean, Montana Fouts has been the superstar for Bama in the circle, but I think it's smart not pitching her past these first two games because of the reliance that you're going to have on her in postseason. And you know Alabama's going to be making a regional, possibly even hosting, depending on the outcome of this tournament. So I think right now you're just wishing that she does well and hoping that Alabama can pull out a game without her in the circle.
Yeah, the softball world needs Montana Fouts. She's such a good ambassador for our sport. She's a huge name. She's been so fantastic in the circle. But I think that there's so many other big names in this sport. Montana Fouts, Skylar Wallace, Maddie Penta, Ashley Rogers, Kiki Malloy. I mean, there's just so many things that you can watch, players that are putting on incredible shows here. So again, ESPN2 in about 20 minutes. Hope to see you there.
Thank you very much, Tori and Kayla. We'll be watching throughout the weekend and, of course, the tournament beginning very soon. We'll take a short break here in studio. We'll get to your phone calls and more guests in just a minute. Again, the number here is 855-242-7285. More remembrances of Phyllis from Mulga throughout the entire afternoon. We're here until 7 this evening, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Stephanie. Stephanie, there? Jimmy is up next in Illinois. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I started listening to your show like about in 2015. I went to Clemson. But anyway, I remember Phyllis calling you one day mad as a hornet because Kenyon Drake had quit playing for Alabama and was become a rapper.
Right.
And you had to set her straight and let her know that it was actually Kanye West that was a rapper. So.
You know, Phyllis, we all loved her, but she could confuse her metaphors occasionally. So I do remember that now.
I didn't want to pick on her. I didn't want to pick on her, but, man, that was funny.
That was hilarious. Hey, thanks for sharing that. Speaking of a funny man, we had a chance in Birmingham to talk to my favorite golfer, and he's also a huge Razorback fan, John Daly. Well, John Daly here at the Tradition, and I never know what to expect with you on a day like today. Is this your normal standard fare pro-am garb?
Yeah, we can wear shorts on both tours now, all tours.
Well, I didn't know that.
In the pro-am, so it's nice. I wish we could do it during the rounds. I'd play better.
So how's everything going? We haven't talked to you since I think the Razorbacks were trying to advance in Vegas.
Yeah, our free throws were down this year, and me and Musk have been going back and forth with it. But you know, I tell you what, Arkansas's got it going on. We love Coach Pittman. Hopefully, our defense can come around. We're going to be young though.
Yeah, I think the fan base is resilient, but they do want to see some results, John. So what do you, are you in charge of recruiting this offseason?
No, I let Coach do that. He's good at it. You know, we got KJ. We keep KJ healthy with this last year of him. I think the Hogs are going to do all right.
These things are always interesting, these pro-am runs. We just talked to Charles Barkley a minute ago with Kirby Smart, and I know the amateurs take it seriously. They have fun with it, but you are allegedly working out here. You're trying to – you've been here, but you're trying to, you know, you and your caddy looking around the golf course. This is a major, but how do you mix getting ready for a tournament with – doing what everybody wants and see you have fun with the amateurs and the people that show up?
Well, most of our amateurs, the guys pay a lot of money to play, and we want to make sure they have a good time. We, as professionals, we've played these courses so many times that what's one day just helping them, and right. That's what we do. We're, you know, the Champions Tour is probably 100% approved by every pro-am that we have, and we usually have Wednesday, Thursday, sometime Monday, Tuesday off-sites. We know what we're doing. We get it. We love our sponsors and we cherish our sponsors because, you know, we're the only sport right now, maybe tennis, that has a job.
Right.
You know, you can play golf until you're 95, 100 years old and still enjoy the game. So we want to make sure, and I've always been one of those guys on the programs to make sure my guys have a good time.
And you are without a doubt somebody, and I've been in all these programs before, John, and you see John Daly, and you really get excited. I even saw you once at a Monday event, and I hope you know what you mean to schmoes that somehow get into these tournaments. You know, whether they pay or somebody invites them, and to get an opportunity. You're not disappointed if you get somebody else, but you're ecstatic if you get John Daly.
Well, if you're gonna play me, you're gonna have a good time because you know we're a little older. We ain't got a lot of time left, and I'm going to live it to the fullest.
I once played. I played with you many, many years ago, and I may have hit one good shot all day, and I 90
yeah,
yards
you had
out,
a few
and,
good
and,
ones.
And I stuck it, and I said, "Man, how about that?" And John said, "If you tour qualifying starts next week in Florida, if you're that serious." but that's there's so much comedy out here too, because everybody there's always that one guy who's been a Top Golf, you know, until 3 a.m. getting ready, and then he's got nothing left on the first tee.
Yeah, I mean, the amateurs do take it serious, but they don't have to because they don't do it for a living. And that's what we always tell them. And, you know, two things is they just hit enough club, try and knock it over the greens instead of being short all the time, and have a good time. You're not a professional golfer. You don't have to worry about what you shoot. Go out, enjoy the day, and just have a good time. And I think that loosens a lot of the amateurs up when I play with them. And, you know, if they got family, take pictures with them. It's their day. You know, most of the time it's their money. And I want them to have a good time. And I think every guy on this tour gets that.
Yeah, the first time I played many, many years ago, John, with Lee Trevino. And one of the guys in the group was that guy. And he's walking back and forth. And this is before you could see how far you were. And he said, "I think I'm 161. What do you, and he asked, he brought a caddy along. He said, "What do you think? 4 or 3? And Trevino goes, "Why do you care? You haven't hit a green all day."
That's right. That's what
we're trying to do. I mean, I know you want to say that once in a while, but you're too nice a guy.
Well, no, I mean, and no, I've said it too. I mean, because, you know, they've got to enjoy it. They're not out here to shoot a score. You're on a team. And most of our pro-ams is a team. You know, you need one guy to have a really good hole.
Right.
If he makes that 5 for 3, and they're getting all the shots, I'm just drinking all of them. So, but
I had the host of a tournament once, John. I mean, he was the guy. I mean, that guy that you've played with many times, and it was the third hole out here. I think it's it used to be the number one handicap hole.
It's still, I think it's still.
So this guy had a 40 handicap or whatever. So what's the motion get? Two on a hole.
No, so, the motion gets two on.
So he had a double bogey, net 4, and I think it was Trevino who had a 5. He said, "Yeah, he walked." He said, "I beat the pro on this hole." I mean, it was a double, but that. So there is no off season for you, but do you manage the schedule around the Razorbacks?
Yeah,
football?
Yeah, I'm gonna, you know, my son, he redshirted this year, so he's gonna get to play a lot next 3 years for the Hogs. So I'm gonna minimize my schedule, get to some more of the Razorback stuff, and watch him play.
We saw John out there, I think, for the first game. Was it last year? I think it was.
Yeah, we beat Cincinnati.
Yeah, when you hit the – you didn't want to – so we're at the end of SEC Nation, I'm supposed to be the last guy to hit. And you said – the guy – I said, what about John? And your hand was there. He is not hitting. He's not playing. So I walk up. I have not hit a golf shot in 5 years. I'm like going, I'm not hitting a shot in front of millions of people. So I hand it to you, and you just – and, of course, I think the ball exploded.
And I French kissed Tusk, and she died.
Exactly.
She was on the way out.
By the way, we rumor is that's not the first time that's happened to somebody that John has French kissed. John, it's always a pleasure to see you.
You too, Paul. So love your show, man.
More guests in your phone calls. Matt is up next. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? I want to thank you for giving the numbers to me, but I want to talk about Texas and football. And I can't wait till we break those hearts, those Razorback fans again. And see the Longhorns and Sooners fall on their face this year. And I wanted your thoughts on the Longhorns and Sooners joining the SEC. And the game's still going to be scheduled around Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving. My question is to you.
Yeah, Matt, I'm pretty high on A&M, as you may have heard me say. I think last year was an outlier.
Is the game going to be scheduled on Thanksgiving or after? I'm curious about that. Same way, Texas. They haven't announced that part either.
Well, we should know that in about 3 weeks, Matt. Thank you for joining us. We have a lot more interviews, but plenty of time for calls as well. We'll go back and continue to listen to some of the greatest hits with Phyllis Famolga and your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Greg Sankey will also join us, as well as Hugh Freeze from Auburn.